All right, ladies and gentlemen, today's topic is secrets of the rhythm guitar. See, I personally think playing rhythm guitar is a lost art. You know, people just think, you know, what is rhythm guitar? It's chords, right? It's strumming, and someone else is playing lead like a solo, and the two, never the twain shall meet, right? So this is, what we're doing today is how to make it much more rhythmically interesting and sort of cohesive as a whole without learning anything new. It's something you, like, by the way, the prerequisite to listening to this is that you would know sort of bar chords, you know, and you have at least some, you know, dexterity with up and down picking, which you would if you're playing in a band. The presumption here is that you're playing in the context of, like, a band where it's bass and drums and another rhythm guitar, like, let's say, acoustic guitar, or another guitar where that person is strumming. So let's say you're the band, you know, excuse my expression here, but you're the band badass, right? Let's say it's a woman who's singing and playing or strumming acoustic guitar, and she's concentrating on voice, you know. And this happened to me the other night. It was a man, front man, singing and playing acoustic guitar. He was the leader. And then it was bass and drums, and then me. And then I was thinking about it. I actually was thinking about you guys, the students, while I was playing. And I was like, now, what do I do here that my students don't? You know, so what did I do? There's one word. I could tell you in one word the secret of great rhythm guitar playing. And I'll bet you it's not something you would expect. The word is texture, right? Texture is you're contributing to the overall, I don't know how to define the word. You know, texture is the overall sort of landscape, and you're adding to the feeling of the song. Any song is about emotion. And any music theory stuff we analyze is strictly so that we can, you know, bring out the emotion of what we're trying to do, whether it's copying someone else's music or writing your own music. You know, and texture is an overlooked thing. So when you have two guitars doing, your example was from your band, was this, it's the key of C sharp. So F sharp and C sharp and then G sharp and C sharp, right? So you do that. And I'm going to demonstrate what I might do to vary up the texture. So here's the bass and drum loop. If we play, and the whole song is like that, right? Now, I don't know what I'm going to do yet. I haven't planned out. Doing here, I'm rounding out the overall texture, right? If I strum the same way you do, let's do it without any texture. Me and you play the same part. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with playing the same part. But if you're doing a recording or if you're playing live, go ahead. You do your old part. Rhythmically is all I'm really doing, using eighth notes. So, and I'm playing deliberately in a different register. You're playing down, I'm playing up. And you can just literally look at the other person. Let's say it's a her, so I can distinguish between me and, you know, me and the acoustic player, for argument's sake. Doesn't matter if it's two acoustics, two electrics, you know what I mean. So, number one, go in a different register. I'm going to be her. Gender thing is gonna work out, and so you okay. So now you have to fiddle around with this again. This is all chords you know already. You got F sharp up here at the 9th fret, and where's your C sharp? It's also at the 9th fret in different shape. All right, I'll pause that for a second. All right, so now you got the chords at that spot. So Just strum for a second. We'll do it together. Unfortunately, with this machine, I can't really count four because it's kind of like... So three... I can, but it might be a little off. Three, four. And there's nothing wrong with that. Because at the very least, we're in different registers. So now you're just gonna go, you're gonna strive for a different, like a slightly different texture that still fits the mood of the song, but makes the whole thing sound bigger and a little more varied and a little more, you're I don't know what the word texture is. You tell me your, come back next week with a 100-word essay on what does texture mean. and so, you know, what can you do? Well, first let's just start with the rhythm. Just vary up the rhythm. Instead of whatever you were doing, do something with the same, you're still going to strum the same way, but hit, just vary it up. Like for example, don't hit the one beat. You know, play around the one beat. The whole rest of the band is very strong on the one and three is our strong beats. So you avoid those. That's a start right there. Very good. Saying this is, I'm not saying what this is very good. You're off to a very good start. I'm not saying that's the choice for this song, but already we got a vibe going on. Because you ever listen to like reggae or something? Reggae is an excellent example of, you know, all the parts are so simple. If you extracted each part out of a reggae band, it would be very simple, compelling, but simple. But it's the way it's all put together. It's a masterful art of musical texture, art form, whatever the word is. This is very good. What did you do? You just started varying up the eighth notes, right? I don't know what else you could do there. Can you go back to your old part? I might give you some more ideas. Sometimes this stuff just comes out instinctively and I don't really know what it is. Right, here you go. I'm going to count it up. Okay. So there's two things I'm doing at the same time. Each one of those is worthy of exploration. See, that's what I mean. A lot of times I do this stuff, I don't even know what I'm doing. One is staccato, and the other one is chord anticipation. If I don't say it out loud, I'll actually forget what we're supposed to talk about. Staccato. Now that you got bar chords, by the way, staccato is the white clam sauce. Legato is the red clam sauce. All right, no, I'm just kidding. Now that you got bar chords, you have the ability, you have the luxury, whatever the word is, of cutting the chord short just by lifting off the pressure. So, all right, for example, you go short, long, short, long. All right, you try it. Three, three, four. Good. That's very good. The only difference of the way you're doing it, which I'm sure is going to be common for people listening to this, and the way you could be doing it much more relaxed, is to keep the steady motion with your hand. We didn't talk about that. It would be, depending on the rhythm, if it's on the ends, you're going up. I shouldn't say depending on the rhythm. It's always pretty much on the ends going up and on the beats going down. So that's not going to change, but depending on what the rhythm is when the ups and downs occur. So in this case, I think it's down and up, and then down and up. Yeah, let's hear some of it. Good, let's hear it with the band. But do that first short one, the first one, staccato, yeah. Short and long. I'll go back to my part. Good. And then the second. Good. This is you're off to a good start. The second part of what I was doing was was anticipating the chords, which means it comes in right before the one beat. In this particular case, the rhythm guitar is doing that as well. Like, it's not just 1, 2, and 3, 4, and 1, 2, and it's 1, 2, and 1, 2, and. So there's nothing different there from what I'm playing. But the point is, you can do that whether it's written that way or not. So let's take a different example. Let's change the whole thing where I can. So far we got playing around with the rhythms, playing around with eighth notes, not starting on the one. We got staccato and legato, and now we're gonna explore the chord anticipation business. So how about a whole new progression?